Well, we're going to get into it today. As many of you know, we've been walking through this summer series as a church now for a while, and it's called Building the Body, and it's been focused around these different topics that make up a church, not simply just a healthy church, but a fit church. And so if you're new to this series today, as a reminder for all of us, there's an important difference between simply being healthy and being fit, right? My doctor says that I'm healthy by looking at my blood work and saying it's under control. My blood pressure is good. I'm not facing any serious illnesses. But holy moly, am I finding out as I go through this couch to 5K training, I'm incredibly unfit. It's not even funny, you guys. Is anyone else with me? Can I get an amen? Anybody? You guys, running for 3-5 minutes at a time is no joke. I am carrying a baby, so I guess that's a little bit of an excuse, right? No, it's not an excuse. I think I heard someone say this past week, I'm actually practicing the going through this couch to fridge training, and it's going great. And yeah, what the heck? I'm on the wrong program, you know what I mean? We're getting there, though. It's going good. Well, as we use this image for our physical body, it also goes the same for churches. A fit church is not okay with simply coasting along with no problems. A fit church is actively making disciples, maturing in faith, developing strong leaders, involved in their community, and so on and so forth. And so like Pastor Dwayne already said today, we're going to continue to talk through these characteristics, and today is all about Christ-exalting worship. Say that with me. Christ-exalting worship. So we're going to be focusing in on that, why it's important for us as a church, and what does that mean? What does that look like? So the fact of the matter is that worship is a major sign of a fit church. Can we all agree on that? In fact, a church that doesn't value or understand the importance of worship, both in our individual lives and the life as a church, I would venture to say is not only unfit, but are probably pretty stagnant and unhealthy, right? Worship is vital to the life of the church. It's vital to our lives as believers. In fact, I don't think any of us can deny that when God's people gather together in one place and are unashamedly just lifting high the name of Jesus together, and I'm not talking about just a few enthusiasts in the front row at the beginning of service, right? Can I get an amen? I'm talking about together, everybody coming in and just lifting high the name of Jesus. Something beyond ourselves happens that we can't explain, and that is what God desires in our worship. So we're going to talk through this a little bit more today. Just real quick, very quick refresher. The Hebrew word for worship that translated literally means to fall or to lie face down before someone on the ground, touching your forehead to earth. So physically or figuratively, worship involves bowing before someone and is ultimately a picture of submission, okay? It's a picture of submission. We're saying this one is worth more. And at the same time, while we say that, we're implying I am worth less. Worship is the magnification of God. It's the minimalization of self. In fact, did you know that worship has nothing to do with us besides us just offering it up to God? God is the focal point. It has nothing to do with our needs, our wants, our desires, our preferences. We are not part of the equation except for coming with humble spirits before our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and worship him because he is our King, he is our Savior, and it is in him who we profess our faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get into it today. We're going to break this down a little bit more. And as I was preparing for today, this week, I just asked the Lord, God, what do you want me to say about what is pleasing to your heart when it comes to worship in your church? And there's so many places in Scripture that we can turn to that teach us about worship. We can look at Jesus' life, who is the greatest worship leader that ever lived, right? And there's so many other places in Scripture that we can turn to that instruct us. This is what God says about worship. But this morning, I felt the Lord just leading me to the book of Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 6 today. If you don't have your Bible with you, it'll be on the screen. And I invite us to stand as we read God's word together this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. Hear the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your word. We believe that your word holds power and speaks truth into our lives, God, that it's powerful and it's active. And so, God, I pray that your word would not fall on deaf ears this morning, but rather would just penetrate our hearts that are prepared and ready to receive what you have for us. God, I pray that you would speak faithfully through me this morning, and may your heart be pleased as we strive to understand your heart for worship and live that out as both individuals and your church. You are worthy, and I give this time to you. We pray this in your mighty and matchless name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. So this passage can come across as kind of strange at first. Can't really imagine what Isaiah might have been experiencing. But I want to pull some things out as it relates to Isaiah's worship experience today. And before we get into those things specifically, I think it's important for us to just, first of all, point out a couple things right off the bat about this passage, okay? So, shout it out. Where was Isaiah when he experienced this? Where was he? Starbucks? Not quite. He was in the temple, okay? He experienced this in the temple. He wasn't just walking around randomly, running errands, right? He wasn't going to get groceries. He wasn't cooking dinner. He wasn't doing laundry, whatever you guys find yourselves doing in the routine, mundane week, right? But no, he was intentionally going to a place that he knew he was going to connect with God. He was intentionally going to a place that he knew he was going to connect with God. And at the same time, I believe that since he knew he was going to intentionally connect with God, his heart was prepared for that time, even though he could in no way be prepared for what he was about to experience, right? And so just out of those two things, I felt like God revealed to me this week two really cool things, okay? So Isaiah was going to the temple to intentionally worship the Lord. Church, when we gather as a people here in this place, we gather with intentionality, right? We gather with intentionality, and that intentionality is to come prepared to worship Jesus Christ for all he is doing, and all he will continue to do as his people. We are the bride of Christ that comes to experience intimacy with him. We're not just running around like chickens with our heads cut off throughout our week, and we just happen to randomly stumble into this place, and then whatever happens next happens. No, we are called to be an intentional people, to gather intentionally for a purpose in our worship. Also, I said, I'm sure that Isaiah's heart was prepared to meet with God because he knew that's what he was going to do, right? But he was in no way prepared for what was about to happen. Church, I love that. I think that's so important for us in our worship to understand and be reminded of. We should prepare our hearts to experience God's presence, but every time we experience his presence, it should be like nothing we could have ever fathomed. When we experience the Lord every time we enter into his presence, it should be like the first time. Amen? We do not serve a God who is one-dimensional. No, we serve a God who is full of wonder and full of mystery. And every time our spirit connects with his in worship, our little minds can't comprehend his nature because it is so beyond us. But he gives us a glimpse of that whenever we connect with him. And it is like new every time. That is what our worship should be. Amen. You guys, I've gone on a little bit of a tangent, okay? But I'm fired up about this, and we should be fired up about this as a church. This is what pleases God's heart when it comes to our worship. So I want to break this passage down and just walk through the progression that we see in Isaiah's worship experience. We're going to break it down into five phases, okay? Five phases that I think will help us understand worship as in what pleases God's heart. Number one, Isaiah saw God's majesty. Isaiah saw God's majesty. Before anything else happened, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on his throne, high and exalted, and he goes on to explain this intense scene that he is experiencing before him. Church, this is where our worship needs to begin each and every time we enter into his presence. Nothing about us is in the equation. We simply need to begin to worship God by seeing and by recognizing his majesty and beauty, period. And we begin to praise him for that because that's all we can do, right? And scripture says that no one comes to the Father except through Christ. And so the first way to enter into the presence of the Lord is to focus on the glory and majesty of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's all about Jesus. So Isaiah sees God's majesty. He is so in awe by God's majesty that, number two, he confesses his need. He is so in awe and brought to his knees that in verse 5 he says, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." Remember how I said that worship is a picture of submission? Church, worshipers humble themselves before God. Worshipers submit themselves to Jesus' lordship. And if we are truly allowing ourselves to experience the majesty and the power and the sovereignty of God through Christ, we can't help but confess, "Jesus, I need you. I am so unworthy in your presence, Lord. I need you. I am small. You are great. You are more. I am less." You see, worship needs to involve confession. So Isaiah saw God's majesty, which led him to confess his need for the Lord in his life. And number three, this is so important, church. Isaiah receives forgiveness. It's incredible to me that throughout so many instances in scripture, we read about people who experience feelings of just utter unworthiness when God reveals his full glory to them, right? They just fall down out of unworthiness. And I think that it's so important that we see that as the worshiper is laid low, God moves towards them and approaches them with such beauty and mercy and grace, and he doesn't let them stay there. In this particular passage, God sends a seraphim to Isaiah with a burning coal in his hand, and he places it on Isaiah's lips, and he said, "Your sin is atoned for, and your guilt is taken away." In our worship, although we are to be ever aware of our unworthiness in the presence of the Lord, church, God doesn't want us to live there. God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to accept the grace that he has so freely given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's for a purpose, which leads me to point four. Isaiah heard God's call to service. God says, "Whom shall I send and who will go?" In our worship of God, he covers us with grace and mercy so that we can be actively involved in his purposes. So not only is worship this picture, this form of submission, it also involves an act of sacrifice and obedience, which then brings me to the last point, number five. Isaiah then responded to God's call. So he not only just heard God's call to service, he responded. Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." He received the mercy that the Lord had for him, but then responded to the calling God placed on him. And can I say that I think he did that with urgency and joyfulness and everything that was in him, because in that moment he couldn't think of doing anything else. He was experiencing the Lord in such a powerful way that he can't even take in or fathom that all he could do was respond, "Here I am, Lord, send me, I will go for you." What an incredible progression, church, of what our worship should look like each and every time we come into the presence. To worship is a response from our hearts to God for what he has done and who he is eternally. And this response isn't just a one-time deal. It's active. It's ever going. It's actively seen in our submission and our obedience to God each and every day. As I was preparing for today this week, I just have not been able to get a song out of my head that has spoken so personally to me in my own walk with the Lord as of late, but also that just goes hand in hand with what we're talking about today and what I believe God desires true worship to look like. How many of you have heard of the name Andrew Brunson? Anybody? Not really many people? I hadn't heard that name until a couple months ago. My husband Brandon was actually recording a project with a worship leader from First Pres here in downtown Orlando. And this project was revolving around this man, Andrew Brunson. And so I just did my research. This song is incredibly powerful. Andrew Brunson is an American Christian missionary who has been serving in Turkey for the past 23 years or so. He served in the city of Izmir, Turkey, and was a pastor of Izmir Resurrection Church. And on October 7th of 2016, he was actually arrested and imprisoned for his faith, and is still imprisoned to this day under several false charges. In fact, his latest hearing was just this past Wednesday, the 18th, and many people were optimistic that he would actually finally be released after 2 years of being falsely imprisoned. But to their disappointment and to many people's just heartbreak, the Turkish court ruled that he would not, in fact, be released. He would be held in custody at least until his next hearing, which isn't until October. And so things aren't looking good for Mr. Brunson, and so their family needs prayer. We need to be praying for him as well as so many people around this world that are being persecuted for their faith. And while he's been in prison with no end in sight, no idea, especially now, if he's ever going to be released, Andrew wrote the lyrics to this song that Brandon was working on with this worship leader a couple months ago. And so as I listen and reflect on this song, church, this testament of worship that this man wrote while he was being persecuted as we speak for his faith in his darkest hour of life has challenged me in some very deep and real ways in my own life. And I think it's a reminder to all of us that our worship is not circumstantial. Our worship is not circumstantial. Our worship simply involves submission and at the same time, sacrifice and obedience. And even though our worship is not circumstantial and it's not driven by our circumstances, I think it begs the question for us, Centerpoint Church, as this local church body, church, how much more then should we enter into worship each and every week as this church body with utter thankfulness and passion for Jesus because we have the freedom to do so? Amen? God wants us to be a church that sees his glory each and every time we gather. He wants us to be a church that confesses our need and says, Jesus, we need you. He wants us to be a church that receives the grace he has for us each and every time we gather. And then he wants us to be a church that hears and responds to the calling that he has specifically placed on us. Pastor Duane mentioned a couple weeks ago that everything we do in ministry and as believers says something about Christ. But it's not just what we do, it's in the manner that we do it, right? Can I just paint a picture for you for a second? What an incredible testament of our love for Christ and his love for us when an unbeliever walks through those doors, church, and they witness our worship to Jesus, and they say, I don't even know anything about this, Jesus, but I want to be a part of that. I see God among you. And then they, in turn, worship Jesus Christ because they have witnessed something beyond ourselves that's happening when we gather and we give ourselves unabandonedly to him. That is worship, and that's what God desires. So let me just ask us, church, how are we doing with this? Just rhetorically, how often do you allow yourselves to be in a position to intentionally and directly ascribe worth to God? Do you approach worship from a spirit of humility and submission? Or are you allowing your own preferences to get in the way of what solely is meant for God? Are your most passionate expressions in a given week directed toward the lover of your soul? How is your worship moving you to respond to the calling God has for you? How is it changing you? Because, church, every time we come in contact with Jesus, he changes us. I just want to take a few minutes in time for reflection this morning. I want to share this song by Andrew Brunson with you today. And you can find the lyrics on your seats to follow along with. During this time of reflection, feel free to just journal on this paper. The altars are always open just for you to find a place of prayer and reflection. But I'd love us just to focus in and allow the Lord to just speak to our hearts in response for what he desires our worship to look like and what this man, I feel like, just was so faithful in testifying in this song. And after this, we're going to continue to worship and respond through communion. But let's just listen in at this time.